Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the f*** up.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, Thursday morning, we are recording Friday morning, probably for you, wherever you are in the goddamn world. It is Believe You Me. It's a poor man's Believe You Me. Anthony Smith isn't on this episode. Don't turn off right now. You got to stay. You got to listen. We've got Harrington. We've got stories. We've got topics. We've got MMA news. We got breaking news. We've got Harrington in front of a fridge, still wearing a robe. Listen, I know they turned the heating off. Are you still freezing cold, Harrington?
Dude, it gets like worse and worse by the day. I swear to you. It's like my apartment is never going to warm up. And my girlfriend is like, be careful what you wish for, because we are going to be miserable in the summertime if the insulation is this bad.
It is going to get warm pretty soon in New York. I would have thought. What kind of temperature are you rocking with right now?
Dude, it's like mid-50s. It just won't stop.
Yeah,
it's nice out.
Yeah. Well, I'm actually, you can see I've got a nice little glow about me. The weather in California is fantastic. You and Anthony Smith and all your fucking yee-haw, yippee-ki-yay, son of a bitches can talk shit about liberal California. There's a reason why it's expensive, okay? Because it's fucking awesome. And I love England. I'm going back there July 23rd because they just announced a UFC London. Can't wait for that one. In fact, we're going to try and bring the whole team to that. But maybe a conversation for another...
Please.
Yeah, exactly. Let's get into some of this. I mean, the big news is this week, Elon Musk, $43 or $44 billion has bought Twitter. Harrington, lay the foundation, lay the pie.
It's exactly that. He came out like less than a month ago, I want to say like 2 weeks ago, and disclosed that he had been, you know, just privately acquiring shares. And he was at one point the largest private shareholder in the company. They invited him to the board of directors. He was like, I'm good on that. I just want to buy the whole damn thing. And, initially Twitter was like considering poison pill options and a whole bunch of other stuff. Eventually, you know, he offered them so much more over the asking about price 20%. On the stock that his board of directors was like, Twitter's board of directors was like, look, it's bad for our shareholders if we don't just take this money. So Elon Musk is, you know, now the owner of Twitter.
This all started with a tweet. He put out a poll a couple weeks ago that said, do you think Twitter is like a bastion of free speech? The results of this poll will have consequences. And now, like 3 weeks later, he owns the whole shit.
No, I know. I saw that. Imagine having that kind of power. You know what I mean? I don't really sit there I never have, like, you know, pine to be another man or wish for something else. But Elon Musk pretty much can do whatever the fuck he wants. You know what I mean? You know what? Twitter, yeah, I'm just going to buy it. $44 billion. What's his net worth? It's something like $250 billion now. Because I will say this, in California, I don't know what it's like in New York, certainly not in England either. But Teslas are everywhere. I can see why he is the richest man on the planet because, of course, you know, the automobile, the car industry is absolutely, you know, everyone owns a car, most people anyway, and they're turning into Teslas. They are literally all over the place. But yeah. You know what? I'm just going to buy Twitter. Not a bad move. Pretty gangster.
$264.6 billion. $44 billion wasn't even like a significant chunk of his wealth. That is
bananas. I was thinking about this the other day. That's like for Elon Musk, because like Ellie wants a horse now. It's not bad. It's not enough that Rebecca has a horse. Ellie wants a horse because Ellie's now doing competitions. She's winning. I'm like, well, why can't she use your horse? And Rebecca's like, no, it's too much horse because Mikey, big expensive Mikey, he's scared of his own fucking shadow. Do you know what I mean? Right? And I was like, If we were to buy another horse, right? We can. Do you know what I mean? But I don't want to do it. I don't want to waste money. That's like Elon Musk buying Twitter. He's like, fuck it. It's like somebody paying for a really expensive dinner. Do you know what I mean? Treating like, you know, like a works party. Like if I took you, the whole podcast crew out, Anthony Smith, all of us, and we threw a few people on, 10, 15 people, beef fancy dinner. It's like, shit, that one's going to be fucking expensive when the bill comes. Like,
it'll be like
my Hall of Fame dinner. Yeah, it sounds like a great dinner. We'll do that one day. Don't you worry. You know, like when I won the Hall of Fame, or was given the Hall of Fame, we all went out for dinner. When the bill came, I was like, fuck, they're all here for me. I've got to pay for it, for fuck's sake. But I was like, oh, God, my heart sank a little bit, but I paid it. You know what I mean? That's what that was for Elon Musk. $44 billion, it's like an expensive dinner.
Dude, I've never understood that, by the way. Like, if a guy gets a hole-in-one in golf, right, the thing that people always say is, oh, drinks are on you. And it's like, wait, I just got a hole in one. This is my special day. Why am I now out a $2,300 bar bill? You know what I mean?
Mm. Yeah, no. I was listening. I put a tweet on this morning. I said, do we think anything's going to change now that the Musk has taken over? Which, by the way, we got to call him the Musk. That's fucking
the Musk.
True. The Musk. The first
make him sound like a Bond villain.
Yeah, the Musk man, he's a little bit of a weirdo, isn't he? And he's trying to be cool. He's jumping out of fucking articulated trucks. You see that on the news a couple of days ago. And he's walking along like a fucking superhero. You know what
he's
I mean?
Going to space?
He's going to space. He goes to space. He sends people there. He's colonizing Mars. You know what I mean? This guy's fucking great.
So there are rumors that they are stripping
Stop. Conspiracy theories, no doubt, Brian. Because we do know that you like to go down the rabbit hole.
My
you know,
you definitely hat take is the downstairs. Fucking
the trippy pill. Never mind the blue pill or the red pill. Is there a paranoid pill? Because I want to take that one. But go
no,
on.
No, the pills I take make me less paranoid.
I thought you were going to say something else.
So there's a conspiracy theory here going around. Well, there's some evidence actually that the codes that they're using to like shadow ban people and stuff, they're stripping away. Because there's reports of like conservative voices getting tons of new followers over the past few days, and like big liberal pundits losing a ton of followers. It's like, it's weird. I'm not sure how true it is, but I'll keep an eye out on it.
Yeah. Well, listen, free speech is important, and I don't think that Twitter should be. I think Elon Musk said it best himself. It's become like the proverbial town square. You know what I mean? That's where people can hold an audience, talk. And of course, if you're famous or you've got a following, you know, you're going to have a bigger one than Joe, who works at the garage. You know what I mean? But still, that's just the way the world works. And they do shadow ban people. And they do. Pardon me?
I said, until Joe starts making some great points. And it's like, and that is what's cool about Twitter, is that literally.
Yeah, but no one wants to hear from Joe. He keeps talking about tires and exhaust. It's no wonder you've got 3 followers, Joe. No one gives a fuck about the exhaust. It's all electric cars these days anyway, Joe. Someone says here, the first thing I looked at on my Twitter, I said, what do we think is going to change? Someone goes, a lot more hate speech and disparaging of minors. Hopefully he eradicates anonymous accounts. Oh, that's a boring one. So listen, yeah, you're right, unfortunately, but people should. I don't agree with that. But if people want to be a racist bigot and they want to talk like that, I'm not saying I encourage it, but free speech should be allowed. But that is that free speech?
Unless you're calling for violence, it is free speech.
Yeah,
essentially, yeah. There's very few limitations on free speech here.
Yeah,
I mean, there is also like the idea of like, let's give them enough rope to hang themselves. You know what I mean? Like, if somebody is out there and spouting out hate speech, it's like, you know, yeah, just because you can say it on the internet doesn't mean you're not still subject to public ridicule. Doesn't mean you're still not like living in a society that doesn't tolerate that. So, you know, banning someone on Twitter does a hell of a lot less than having the receipts.
Not that I'm trying to change subject, because I am trying to change subjects, but literally the next tweet down goes, Jake Paul went off on Michael Bisping and Jorge Masvidal. What? I haven't seen this. Jake, Bisping wants to talk shit. Cool. Let me get it. Then let's get in the ring, you motherfucker. You pussy. If you want to talk shit, get in the fucking ring, you pussy. Masvidal, you pussy. These guys are all talk. They're crap, and their dad, Dana, fucking owns them. They're a bunch of fucking pussies that hide behind the fucking contract. I'm not hiding behind. And we're not getting into this, by the way. I literally just saw that for the first time.
Sounds like hate speech.
It sounds like hate speech. It does. Musk, Ban him. Get rid of him. Shadow ban Jake Paul, the fucking prick. No, I did see him talking some crap yesterday, and I posted it on Twitter. It's something like that. I just haven't seen MMA fighting write that up. I'm like, Jake, what are you talking about? I'm fucking retired. Do you understand how pathetic you sound? You fight people in their prime that are actual boxers, but he's not a fighter. And we're going to move on. He's not a fighter. This is what I tweeted yesterday, and it's a good point. You're a very, very financially successful sideshow. And that's okay. That's okay. That's great. Good for you. But please, bro, get fucked. Anyway, let's get this back on track. What we saying, Harrington? What else we got? Amber Heard, Johnny Depp. I see that all over the news. Anytime I go on YouTube, it's fucking Amber Heard. It's Johnny Depp talking about her taking a shit in his bed, describing the fecal matter. Me and Beck were sat in bed last night and we were watching it. And there's some funny stuff coming out. They're like accusing him of drinking whiskey first thing in the morning. You know what Johnny Depp's answer was? Have you seen it?
Oh, I have.
He said, isn't can't any hour be happy hour? You know, and I'm like, I fucking love this guy.
People are mad at him for being charming on the stand, and I don't understand it because it's like, it's been his job for the past 48 years. You know, like, he's probably pretty good at it.
Yeah. And he's saying that she's swinging punches at him and he kept his cool and he sat down on the bed and then he left. You know, you never know. There's two sides to every story. She's going to get her chance. You know what I mean? But shitting on the bed, I watched some YouTube video last night and the guy kind of summed it up perfectly what he was talking about it. He said, yeah, you know, you're with a girl, you know, you're having issues, you're arguing a lot, you know, you want to stay with them, you're trying to figure it out, but then you walk in and she's done a shit on the bed. That is like the biggest favor ever because it's like, okay, you know what? We're done. We're just going to leave this here. We're just going to park this and say, we're going to go our separate ways. You, in the cold light of day, squatted on my bed, forced out a crap, and then just left it there. Do you know what I mean? It's like, I don't want to be with you anymore. Thank you for shitting on my bed because you just did me a massive favor.
It's a funny prank, bro.
It's not a funny prank. You shit on my bed, Harrington. If you ever come to my house again and you shit on my bed, I will not take that as a prank.
All right. So fair to say you haven't found the first one. Good.
I've been wondering what the smell was. I thought it was, you know, under the whatever. I was going to say a joke there, but I moved on very quickly. But what's going on with Raquel Pennington? How was she involved in this?
So there was, you know, the defense, right? Amber Heard called, you know, a witness to the stand to speak to, you know, Amber's character. She brought up her, you know, very, very good friend for many years, Raquel Pennington, right?
Oh, I never saw this. Did she really?
Right. Turns out it's a woman named Raquel Rose Pennington, but like you said,
so not Raquel Pennington,
not Rocky, the former title challenger. But as you said, it's so popular on Twitter and everybody is talking about this thing that it did kind of fall into the MMA Venn diagram. And a lot of people have been hitting up Raquel Pennington, UFC fighter, about this random, you know, friend of Amber Heard's. And Raquel was like, you guys need to do a hell of a lot more research. Like, you guys stink at being internet detectives here.
Yeah. Brian, what are you saying here? I know. I love how I'm getting.
That's just a quote.
Yeah, go on. Just say it. Because I can't read it. And now it's a podcast. It's an audio visual experience.
It says, she says, I love how I'm getting drug into this Johnny Depp trial. And I don't know any of these people. Get your facts together. There are more Raquel Penningtons in the world.
Ooh, guess what? There ain't any more Michael Bispings. In fact, I think there is. He's in Germany, some kind of scientist or something. Anyway, good name. Yeah. What's that? Get him on the show. Hi, Michael. Anyway, Johnny Depp. You know what I liked as well? There's a video of him pouring the wine. Amber Heard, have you seen that one? She was videotaping him or recording him. Fucking hell, I'm sounding old. Videotaping him. She's recording him on his telephone and on her telephone secretly. And Johnny Depp's in the kitchen and he's smashing around stuff. And they've had an argument or something. And she's like, oh, you're being crazy. Do you want to see fucking crazy? And he grabs a big old glass, pours it all the way to the top. And I'm like, see, Rebecca, that is a normal pour. That is what a man drinks. Thank you, Johnny. You have validated me on many, many levels.
Yeah, I mean, that's a normal drink for a guy who drinks whiskey in the morning and is furious at his wife. For sure. Oh, that's that's what you want to
keep. It was funny on the stand. On the stand, he went, oh, and apparently this is the box. that you used to keep your cocaine in? Is this a box that you keep cocaine in? He goes, it is a box that could hold cocaine. And I don't know why Johnny Depp is speaking in like this weird, like kind of British accent all the time, but I do like it. All right, real quick, I want to tell you about Novo.com. Listen, if you've got a business, you want a bank that works with you. You don't want a one-size-fits-all kind of approach. You want to have a company, you want to have a bank, you want to have a financial institution that's going to do the right thing, that's going to give you perks, discounts, all the rest of it. That is where this comes in. Novo is a powerful, simple business checking account. And unlike the traditional banking model, Novo has no minimum balances, no transaction limits, and no hidden fees. Instead of a one-size-fits-all approach, as I said, Novo is customized to your business to save you time and free up cash flow so you can do other things with seamless integrations to Stripe, Shopify, QuickBooks Online, and more. Sign up to Novo for free and join the community of over 150,000 fearless small businesses who have found the customizable business checking solution that admires their brave. Yes, fortune favors the bold, the strong, and the brave. For your business to break out of anything that's holding you back, you need business checking as brave as you are. And that is where Novo comes in. Sign up for free with your business checking account right now at novo.com/believe. That is N-O-V-O. Novo.com/believe to join the listeners and get access to over $5,000 in perks and discounts. Go to novo.com/believe to sign up for free, by the way. And as I say, you get access to over $5,000 in perks. Novo.com/believe. Novo Platform Incorporated is a fintech, not a bank. Banking services provided by Middlesex Federal Savings, FA member, FDIC. Terms and conditions apply. Anyway, we're not here for tittle tattle. We're not here for Johnny Depp. We're here to talk about today's National Superhero Day, according to Harrington.
Yeah, so this is a thing that's just going on Twitter, hashtag National Superhero Day. Honestly, I feel like it's something that they do to just drum up clicks. But yeah, every day is a national something day. But Today is National Superhero Day. So I was going to ask you, Michael, who's your favorite superhero?
Well, that's what I was just about to ask you. And, you know, weirdly enough, we went out for sushi yesterday and we're driving back, Rebecca, Ellie, Lucas and I, and I don't know how we were talking about superheroes and we were talking about who our favorite superheroes are. And they said Batman because Batman's cool. You know, Batman doesn't have any powers, but that's what makes him cool and all the rest of it. You know, I don't know. I said, well, hold on. And then they were talking about Superman. They were talking about Supergirl and the Incredible Hulk. I said, what about Spider-Man? And then we started talking about No Way Home and how that's meant to be in an awesome movie. Have you seen that, by the way? Is it good?
Oh, yeah. That's the only movie I've seen in theaters in the last like 2-3 years. It was worth it.
Brian?
No, I haven't seen it, but apparently there are hundreds of holidays every month, which I don't even see how it could be possible.
Go on, give me an example of some of these national this day, national that day. It's like anything's looking for a reason to be recognized these days. And so we can pander to this little group and they'll say how fucking great they are. Oh my God, just get on with your lives. But give me a few examples, Brian.
We have a copyright law day. We have...
My God, fuck off.
What's your favorite copyright day? Law?
Yeah.
just the regular one.
Go on. What else?
National First Foot Day.
First foot?
What?
What comes first, the left foot or the right foot? We all have 2 feet. We're born at the same time. We come out head first most of the time. Do we come out head first? I think we do when we're born.
Supposed to, yeah.
National, oh, yeah, the head comes first. I should know this. I've seen it 3 times. And then the feet come out same time. First foot. Go on, Brian, what?
National Radon Action Month is January, just in case anybody was wondering.
I don't care about that one. Continue.
National Stalking Awareness Month is also January. These are all in January, by the way.
I do like sexy stockings and suspenders. I like that one. I'm all for that one.
Teen Driving Awareness Month. It gets more ridiculous.
Ellie just passed the driving test. She does need teen driving awareness.
You need to be aware that she's on the road.
Last one, Brian. What
did you also know that January is Cervical Health Awareness Month?
So it's a very important issue, Brian. Do not mock that. Okay. Cervical health is something that I'm very big on. Brian, before you disappear, real quick, tell me, who is your favorite superhero?
The Punisher.
Oh, I knew it was going to be something dark. It was not going to be Disney with Brian.
Hey, Disney owns Marvel now. He is technically a Disney character. Although in the past year or so, they have really ruined him, turned him into some sort of... I just don't like
Pussy Hole.
Yeah,
Brian Harrington, favorite superhero?
Red Hood. He's in the Batman universe.
Is he? God, I don't know him. I don't know
All right, so when Robin... Robin died?
No, I don't want to know.
Oh, man.
I don't want to know.
If Red Hood never gets any shine.
They're sitting there going, yeah, Red Hood's great. The people that don't know about Red Hood don't want to hear about fucking Red Hood. Okay? I love you, Harrington, but we ain't talking Red Hood. What else have we got? Mine's Batman, by the way. No, Spider-Man. Superman. Superman. You can't beat fucking Superman. He can shoot lasers out of his eyes.
Not if Red Hood shoots him with a kryptonite bullet.
Well, Red Hood's going to get his fucking ass kicked when I get my hands on him. So, listen. Kamaru Usman, pound for pound, number one guy. He's been talking about fighting Canelo Alvarez for quite some time. In fact, I saw a tweet again yesterday, I think, from Ali Abdelaziz. He's always going on the offensive. Went nice and blurry there. What's going on? What's the latest? I see it in the news, and I see that Canelo's responded, but I haven't looked at it. So go ahead, Harrington.
Okay, so, I mean, this is prime for BYM theater, honestly. This was such a big back and forth. But Ali Abdelaziz comes out and says, it just starts it. At Canelo is an absolute chicken. He's fighting guys with 5,000 followers on Instagram. These guys will never do anything for his legacy. Now I understand why he doesn't want to lose to someone like Usman, 84 kg. This is chicken style. No risk, no reward.
So what was the response? I saw that Canelo, tweet. Yeah, that's what I saw yesterday. Yeah.
Canelo quote tweeted with a "who the fuck is this" with the laughing face emojis and then like the awkward face. Ali responded, "You know who I am. You know what the difference between you and Usman is. You've been ducking Triple G for 2 years now, but Kamaru have fought everybody UFC threw at him. I'm being very nice to you because it's Ramadan."
I'm being very nice to you. I'm talking shit. I'm slandering your career. I'm doing all this. I'm being very nice.
Usman actually jumped into the fray.
Oh, what did Usman say?
He said, "Let's all just relax before somebody gets hurt." Canelo responded, "I agree because it will not be me."
Yeah, Usman's talking about himself in this conversation for real.
Listen, Usman's doing what Conor did. He's trying to do what Conor did, and he's trying to do what Francis Ngannou's trying to do. He's trying to do what anyone with a fucking brain would try and do. If you're a champion, if you've got marquee value, if you're a big name, if you're someone like Kamaru Usman, who's the top of the welterweight division, yeah, sure. If you're both around a similar weight class and there's an absolute superstar in another combat sport, yes, crossovers, big money, big appeal. Everyone's going to make an absolute fortune. I don't blame him for doing it. Ali Abdelaziz trying to stir the pot, trying to get Canelo to jump up. You know, I mean, listen, the reality is that he's talking about, you know, Canelo's fighting guys with 5,000 followers. MMA people generally, unless you are one of the big, huge boxing superstars, there's a big fall off. You know what I mean? Like if we were doing a pyramid, the pyramid for MMA stars, I mean, you got Conor McGregor way up there as Mount fucking Everest. You know what I mean? He's by far the biggest star. But then, it's a gradual down. Because even guys like the pay-per-view next week, the opening fight on the pay-per-view is Joe Lowes and Donald Cerrone. A lot of people know who those are. When Canelo Alvarez fights or Tyson Fury fights, a lot of the people opening the card, no one's going to know who they are. A lot of people don't know the boxers on the undercards, generally, you know, unless you're a hardcore boxing fan. So I see his point, but it doesn't really stack up. But I love Ali. He's funny as fuck.
Well, I mean, to be fair, I will say, since the Triple G fight, I can't think of a single person that, I had to look up Canelo's record to see who he fought. And, like,
Who were the last few? I mean, he fought Billy Joe Saunders.
Mm-hmm. It was that Saunders Caleb fight Plant. Was
pretty competitive until he broke his face, right?
Yep, correct.
Caleb Plant, Billy Joe Saunders, Anvi Yildirim, Callum Smith, Sergey Kovalev.
So Kovalev's good. Who else you say?
Daniel Jacobs, Rocky Fielding.
No, the couple at the start.
Caleb Plant,
my wife, Rebecca, is bloody got a blender going on in the background. It's a little annoying. Caleb Plant's good. Billy Joe Saunders good. Who was the other one?
Sergey Kovalev.
Yeah, these are good. Callum Smith. These are great boxers. They don't have the crossover fan appeal, but if you're in the boxing world, you know those names and you respect them. So, anywho,
I agree, but I just like, you know, I do think Canelo would be doing himself a favor, honestly, at this point, taking on that Kamaru Usman fight, right? Because it's like, that is a fight that will 100% attract eyes, get people excited for Canelo Alvarez, which I don't think they are for Canelo Alvarez versus Dimitri Bivol, who's his next opponent. Never heard of the guy, have you?
Yeah. Well, anyone with the last name Bivol is never going to attract a crowd.
And, Bivol. And also, since he's learned English, he's been pretty entertaining.
Yeah, no, he has. You see him at the press conference. Get the fuck out of here. Get the fuck out. Come on, man. Get the fuck out. It's great. But yeah, look, listen, I don't know because, listen, Francis is trying to do it with Tyson. That might happen because if I'm from what I hear, Francis is out of any contract obligations in December, you know, so, you know, but he said he wants to fight in the UFC. But anyway, so there's that one there. What else is it? We've had Conor McGregor do it. Usman wanting to do it.
Still calling out Ryan Garcia a bunch of times that never materialized.
Yeah, I mean, it's great for headlines. It's great for the fans as well. But the UFC aren't going to let a lot of their big names go up, crossover. I mean, you know, yeah, it was great with Conor, but, you know, they can't make a habit of doing that. I don't know. I mean, I can't speak for the UFC and what they want to do in their business decisions. But I'd put that out of your mind, if I'm honest. I don't think any of those are going to happen. But what else have we got? Colby Covington news. He's saying that his brain is injured, Harrington. What is going on here? So this is a result from the Masvidal assault. So go on, talk me through it.
So they went to court yesterday. Both men had to come into court. And, you know, there was a restraining order placed on Jorge Masvidal. He is not allowed to be within 25 feet of Colby Covington. He's not allowed to be within 500 feet of Covington's residence. And, the damages that were, you know, brought up in court included the tooth thing, the Rolex being damaged, which is going to be inspected more. And now he is claiming a brain injury from the attack at Poppy Steaks.
What is the brain injury? I'm just texting Rebecca, asking her. Shut the fuck up. The door's open. Shut up back there or shut this door. Please, podcast working. You're going on your horses. Enjoy. Have a wild time. I'm trying to pay for the horses, but all I hear is... blending, talking, pots and pans, baby. Come and say hi to the guys. I'm joking. You know I am. Come say hi. She's in an equestrian. What is it?
The believers are in for a treat.
What's going on? Say hi, babe.
Hi, Rebecca.
Hi.
Hello, Rebecca.
Hey, how are you guys?
You're making a lot of noise back there, Rebecca. I apologize.
Michael actually did instruct me to make him a protein shake. Ooh. And so that was at his request. So now he's complaining about it. So I'm a little confused. What's the issue here?
Well, no. What I wanted you to do was assemble the ingredients of the shake, the berries, the powder, the spinach, the peanut butter. Put it all in. Put it there. Have it ready. Because as soon as this is done, I've got to go off to my next obligation, my next work thing. You know, I just go, and then down it, and off a pop. I'm running, I'm working, I'm earning.
He's a very busy man, Rebecca.
I'm a very busy man.
I know. I apologize. It was, I was wrong.
I apologize to the believers.
I apologize, believers. I am truly sorry. I have distressed everybody. I'm sorry. Because Michael has such a soothing voice, and you're all used to such lovely tones. And then I come in with my kind of, NutriBullet sounds. It's a little distracting. I apologize.
I'll stick a NutriBullet up your ass if you continue like this. Go on, Harrington. You were going to ask her a question.
Rebecca, I was going to ask you because you know, Mike says you're dressed up in your equestrian gear. You're going over to see Mikey. I mean, why can't Mikey perform jumps and dressage and all the things that are needed for Ellie to become a champion here? Like, why is Mikey ineligible?
Well, Mikey is not ineligible. He is wonderful at all of those things. Sadly, just for right now, Mikey and Ellie just need to work out a little kinks that they have in their relationship.
Yeah.
So
Mikey's scared of his own fucking shadow is what the deal is. No, he's legit. I really do have to go. I know you do, but let me just, he's scared of his own shadow. Ellie was riding him the other day, right? And he got spooked. He set off. Full speed, as fast as he could, and like this huge area where they, you know, where they exercise, whatever, where they work, train. He went massive laps about 5, 6, 7 times for ages. Full speed, and Ellie was on the back of it. I mean, that was very, very dangerous.
Can I speak,
she came
please?
Off. Let me set the scene. She came off. That could have been bad. We right. could have been talking Christopher Reeve, bringing it back to the superhero theme. Oh God, okay.
A bit extreme, but okay.
She would have been paralyzed from the neck down. Okay. She would have had crazy powers like Samuel L. Jackson, right? Smashed piece of glass is what she would have been. Happy?
What are we talking about? I can't even remember what I was going to say. Anyway, he's fabulous. So we just, no, I'm.
Why do we need another horse is the question.
Well, I'd like Ellie to have a horse of her own. That's basically it. Mikey's mine.
You want to share.
I said, if Mikey's not suitable, sell.
It's hard to.
Fucking Mikey. And we buy it. And now Ellie's chiming up in the background saying, no, Ellie, come here. Put your face on the podcast.
We have
come
to
say hi to the believers real quick. Come on. This is Ellie Bisbee. This is
well,
first.
You need to pull out the third.
Yeah, have it.
Hi, everyone.
Hi, Ellie.
I'm listening in the background.
You're listening in the background.
Yeah, ears are burning. You are disrespecting Ellie to all the believers. Yeah, Ellie's fabulous. No. Right,
we have hard-hitting news to
get
to.
Bye. Okay.
Goodbye. Take care. Adios. Be safe. Yeah. Don't die. And don't be paralyzed. When you get back, if you're paralyzed when you get back and I've got bloody medical bills on top of the vet's bills, we're going to have a real problem on our hands.
Caretaker Mikey B, that's a whole lot.
Jesus Christ. Anyway, so basically, I never saw that they were in court going back to Masvidal and Covington. Obviously, two of the biggest stars in mixed martial arts. I follow the sport. I go to all the websites. Didn't see amongst my Amber Heard and Elon Musk buying Twitter stuff. I did not see anything about that. I'm surprised.
So, I mean, I have it here. The updated aggravated battery charge says that Masvidal on March 21st committed aggravated battery on Covington by striking him against his will with a deadly weapon, to wit, his fist or hands, and or did knowingly and intentionally cause great bodily harm, to wit, a brain injury.
But how does he come up with a brain injury without going for brain scans and things like that and presenting the facts and details, Brian?
Are we saying that Masvidal has his hands registered as deadly weapons?
Well, I mean, he is a world-class martial artist. Sounds like Covington's trying to take him to the cleaners. Sounds like Covington, I mean, I don't know. I mean, you just put it together. You know, you look at the pieces of the puzzle. He's trying to show the courts and trying to say to them, here's the level of damage that I took. I now have a brain injury that could affect my career. And we know Masvidal is on the third biggest contract in the UFC. Mm. Sounds like
now Colby Covington is.
This
now
sounds Covington's like going after his cash.
This sounds like Covington's greatest troll.
Yeah.
But I mean, to be fair, a concussion is a brain injury, no?
Well, yeah, no, true. It is a temporary brain injury that can lead to longer term stuff, perhaps. Yeah. Oh man. Man, it's a mess, isn't it? I mean, it's. I don't want to say I like Masvidal now, so I don't want to incur his wrath after we're cool now because we had a phase. But it's been a bit of a fall from grace, hasn't it? From 2019 when he was literally on top of the world, you know, Darren Till, Masvidal, Ben Askren, Diaz, fighting for the belt, and then now this. Oh man, it's a mess. The problem is, this is the thing you see. It's such a, 1 minute you're on top of the world, you're the man, right? You got adoring fans everywhere, you know? And then the next minute you can't win a fight. It's tough to deal with.
Yeah, stopping over in Milan for a pizza.
Yeah. You know, and then all of a sudden it's that's professional sports. You know what I mean? It's such a cruel mistress. It can give you so much and it can take it away in the blink of an eye or the power of a punch or whatever you want to call it. Yeah. Well, it's going to be sad to see how that all unfolds, but it looks like Covington, is trying to take it to the cleaners. All right, real quick, I want to tell you about Shopify. You know the deal by now. They've been supporting the show. If you are an entrepreneur, if you have a business, you're going to break out of that little shop you're in, that little market store, that little home enterprise. You got to get online. That's hard sometimes, right? You got to know all about e-commerce. It can be very, very expensive. Well, now Shopify gives entrepreneurs the resources once reserved for big business. So upstart, startups, and established businesses alike can sell everywhere, synchronize online and in-person sales, and effortlessly stay informed. Yeah, with Shopify, you can reach customers online and across social networks with an ever-growing suite of channel integrations and apps, including Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Pinterest, and more. Gain insights as you grow with detailed reporting of conversion rates, profit margins, and beyond. It is more than a store. Shopify grows with you. Listen. Give it a try. If you're not online, if you're not selling, if you haven't got an e-commerce site, Shopify is the way to do it. It's cheap, it's quick, it's easy, it's simple. Go to shopify.com/believe, all lowercase, for a free 14-day trial and get full access to Shopify's entire suite of features. It's easy. It's free. It's simple. It's free. Free, free, free. 14-day free trial. Go to shopify.com/believe. Speaking of Masvidal, what's going on with him and Gilbert Burns?
Yeah, so he threw a little bit of shade at Gilbert Burns here. He was on the Impulsive podcast with everybody's favorite brothers. And he said, and I quote, he hasn't fought, speaking of Khamzat, he said he's not really impressed with him because he hasn't fought anybody, you know? It's like, you know, he's got a while to go. He's got to fight some guys. They talk big about everybody that they think they can get money from. They know that he could bring in those Arabic countries that's got a lot of money. But as far as him having fun and beating guys, yeah, you know, I haven't seen one guy yet that he's beaten. And I'm like, okay, he beat up somebody good. Little bit of shade of Gilbert Burns there.
Can you pronounce Arabic one more time?
Arabic?
Oh, Arabic? My God. He even said it. Arabic. Arabic.
Right, whatever.
That's Lawrence of Arabia. Arabia is one word. Arabic is the language. Arabic? I cannot talk Arabic. Arabic. Don't talk like this, brother. This. they're turning into fucking Russians as we speak. Every accent now just goes into a Khabib or whatever. I mean, listen, Gilbert Burns has beaten plenty of good people. Do you think if Masvidal's trying to get a fight with Gilbert Burns? I mean, no, I don't think he is. I don't think he is. I don't think that would be a smart move for him right now. After losing three in a row, I don't think Gilbert Burns is the one. Gilbert just had that tremendous fight against Khamzat. Stylistically, a tough fight. Gilbert's beaten lots of good people. Granted, Damian Maia knocked him out. He was, you know, at the end of his career. Beat Stephen Wonderboy Thompson. Who else is there? There's plenty of good people. But Masvidal upsetting a lot of people by the looks of it, you know. But, hey, I'm surprised. I saw that he went on Logan Paul's podcast, which is surprising. Did he not talk about Jake Paul at all? Because Jake Paul's been calling him out.
I'm sure he did. I mean, let me just look that up. I mean, this was, to be fair, this appearance was...
don't know, just say I don't know.
I do not know, but I would
have... Jamie, just look that up. I'm joking. You don't have to do that. You're not...
I'm on it.
Yeah. Harrington, you're the co-host. You're the co-host. You can't do both. You can't wear that many hats. Rafael Dos Anjos gave an open challenge to the UFC for a fight in July or August. Dan Hooker agreed. But Rafael Dos Anjos doesn't want to jeopardize his two-fight win streak against a guy coming off back-to-back losses. Interesting. You know, Dan Hooker's playing a dangerous game here. I think Dan Hooker now, it looks like he's kind of given up those title aspirations and he's just being a badass and taking on all comers. And Dan Hooker is that guy. You know what I mean? He's awesome. I love that attitude. Yeah, I'll take anybody, you know? But also you need to try and manage your career as well. You only get one shot at this, you know, and you never know. He could have like an Indian summer, win a few fights and come back and become the champion, but it's certainly not looking like that's going to be the thing. I mean, he had a tough loss against Arnold Allen back in UFC London. Dos Anjos stylistically wouldn't be a good matchup, but you got to respect the man. You got to respect Dan Hooker for looking for those kind of fights. And Dos Anjos doesn't want to risk his two-fight win streak. I mean, I get that. I understand he wants someone that's going to push him forward as opposed to going through a training camp, all that time and effort to fight Dan Hooker. That essentially does nothing for him, but it does give him another win and extend the record.
Well, he mean the actual quote was, I believe, you're coming off two losses. I'm on back-to-back wins. Get real, right? Meaning that, like, the UFC is never going to match that up. And you know, there is absolutely nothing to gain. But, I mean... You look at Dan Hooker here, lost four out of his last five, but the four losses are to, as you said, Arnold Allen, then at lightweight, Islam Makhachev, Michael Chandler, and Dustin Poirier. So certainly no shame in any of those four names.
No shame in any of them whatsoever, you know, and that is kind of like fighters are their own worst enemy. they will take on all comers. You know, that's why you need a manager sometimes to step in and be like, okay, listen, we get that and that's cool, you know, but you've lost four out of your last five. How about we take someone that's a little bit lower down the pecking order? You know, let's get your groove back. Let's get your mojo back. Let's install the faith into the worldwide MMA community that you can still do this and you can still be a champion one day, because make no mistake. Now, a moment ago, we were talking about Arnold Allen beating Dan Hooker in London earlier this year. Well, this morning it has been announced July 23rd, UFC London is back. We've got Muhammad Makhachev. He's already announced on Twitter that he's fighting on there. Not sure who his opponent is. Tom Aspinall.
LFA champion Charles Johnson.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, it's the guy that's making his debut. Tom Aspinall, probably going to be the main event from what I'm hearing. I haven't hearing anything official, but it's looking like Tom versus Curtis Blaydes. Potentially could be the matchup. If that is the matchup, then that's going to be a number one contender matchup for both men, really. Who did Curtis just beat? He just knocked someone out in Columbus, Ohio. I fucking commentated the event, for crying out loud.
Oh, Christ almighty, it's on the tip of my tongue.
Yeah, yeah. Ooh. Never mind. Look that up, Brian, Jamie. But Tom Aspinall, five-fight win streak now, all stoppages. Do you know what I mean? If he
Chris
can beat Chris Dawkins, there you go. If he can beat Curtis Blaydes, it's got to be a title fight next. It has to be. And I'm just happy that UFC are going back to London again, back to England so quick, because, you know, the sport out there is in such a great place. There's so many, you know, fantastic fighters there now. And the crowd, man, the crowd last time was fucking unbelievable. And I get to go back free of charge. In fact, I get paid to go back home. So happy, happy days.
Uh-huh. I mean, yeah, Curtis Blaydes, you know, his last, what is it, one, two, three, four, five. He is 6-2 in his last eight. His only losses to Derek Lewis and Francis Ngannou. So, yeah, certainly you got to assume he's looking at a title fight. Tom Aspinall, obviously the run that he's been on since joining the UFC in their heavyweight division. I would assume that has to be a number one contenders fight for, you know, what seems like probably going to be for an interim belt. The other fight.
Oh, yeah, because that's Stipe and Jones. Did we talk about that on Monday?
Talked about the idea of those two fighting for an interim belt was discussed like last week. Yeah.
So that's last week. Yeah. So anyway, it looks like that's going to be happening. Jones coming back versus Stipe. That's huge. Excited to see that. It's a great opportunity for both men. Jones at heavyweight. Finally, Stipe, the greatest ever. So you got the greatest ever heavyweight versus the greatest ever light heavyweight. That's a fucking sensational storyline in itself. Francis is off recovering. So interim title. Problem is, for whoever wins that fight in Tom Aspinall and Curtis Blaydes, that Francis Ngannou, obviously. Whoever becomes interim champ, I always say, you're just number one contender, really. Number one contender. If they fight in September, which is what they're saying, Stipe and Jones, September, it's going to be sometime next year before they fight Francis, you know. So, and by then, Francis should be recovered. So even though Tom versus Curtis should be a number one contender, there's going to be a bit of a backlog. There's going to be a line. There's going to be a queue.
Yeah. It is that, yeah, it is always weird, especially when, you know, I mean, and this is 100% my issue with Canelo going to fight Usman, right? Is like, you know, the, when your champion is undecided and it's very murky waters about when they're going to be stepping into the cage next, it does kind of tie up the belt, but, it looks like Stipe and Jones are going to have to wait until, you know, September, they're saying now. Stipe says that he's not going to be 100% until September. John Jones says he doesn't want to wait, but he does want the greatest at his absolute peak. So, you know, that September fight does make sense for both men.
Yeah, no, absolutely it does, yeah. So,
One other big fight on that UFC London card just announced.
Oh, really? Well, it's got to be Darren Till, I would assume.
Ooh, it's the return of Alexander Gustafsson.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, who's he fighting? Nikita Krylov.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Nikita Krylov. Yeah, but Darren Till will be back. I would be shocked if Darren Till is not in the fucking co-main event, lads. He will be. Because did you see that thing with Joaquin Buckley? I think we played it on the show. Buckley asking to fight him. That might be the matchup. That might be. I mean, Joaquin Buckley had that knockout of the year on Fight Island. That crazy jumping, spinning back kick. He's not, I don't know, Brian, just look up how highly Joaquin's ranked, if he's ranked at all. I think he might be in the 10 to 15 range. For Darren, you know, I always said he just stepped down a little bit. Of course, the risks are still high, But, you know, given the run that he's on, he's still a star. He's still going to put asses in seats. People are still going to pay to watch him fight, and he's still got an exciting style. He's still one of the best.
It says here 13th middleweight?
13th. Yeah. So Darren might not want to go that low. He might not want to go that low. But still, Darren Till versus whoever, that's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely sensational fight. And, I mean, especially, you know, in front of that hometown crowd, right? Like, that is so hype to me. Like, the way that they gave it up for, you know, Molly McCann and Patty Pimblett. I mean, Darren is a star on another level. So, I mean, getting to see him come out in front of that London crowd one more time is going to be, you know, it'll send shivers down your spine. And I do hope Brian and I will be there.
Yeah. Well, just don't get too excited, because I think my family are coming with me as well. I can't fly everyone. But that would be fun. You never know. Maybe we can. But one person that's not going to be on there, I don't believe, because I haven't heard any talk of Paddy the Baddy, you know? And I kind of understand it. Because if we're going to have Darren on there, that's fantastic. Tom's the main event again. You know, Molly is probably going to be on there. Arnold Allen's probably going to be on there. You know, you can't have the exact same fight card. You know, so Gustafsson's going to come on and fight Krylov. That's a great fucking addition. Paddy, they're probably going to put him on a US-based card. Maybe on a pay-per-view out here in the States. Paddy's a massive star. Take him out to America. Amplify that. Grow his fan base here, which he already has a huge fan base. Has the deal with Barstool Sports and the podcast and everything. So, yeah, Paddy's probably going to get a big matchup on a big pay-per-view. And let's not forget this. July 23rd, International Fight Week is a couple of weeks before that. That's going to be Leon Edwards fighting Kamaru Usman, more than likely. That's what Dana confirmed. So that's probably going to be in July, early July. And we were talking about this on the BT Sports show that I just did. Adam Catchell made this point, and it's a very, very good point. Could you imagine if Leon Edwards pulls off, you know, the upset, wins, beats Kamaru Usman, and then 2 weeks later, he's in London, O2 Arena, sold out crowd, and gets to walk in with the belt. I mean, what a scene that would be. And when the guy, Adam Catchell from BT Sports, said it, I was jealous. I was jealous. I'm like, oh, God, I would have loved to have knocked out Rockhold and then a week or two later walk into a sold-out O2 Arena. That would have been fucking insane.
No, instead you walked into Manchester and defended the belt.
Yeah, but that was
significantly cooler.
Oh, no, it was awesome. It was amazing. Don't get me wrong. It was one of my best experiences of my life. But that was like 6 months later. Oh, well, no.
Okay.
June, July, August, September. 4 months later. Quick turnaround. That's how we do it.
Sorry, correction. Joaquin Buckley went up 13 spots. He's now ranked 29th.
Oh, hold on. You can't say Joaquin was ranked 13th and then say he went up 13 spots and he's now ranked 29th. If he went up 13 spots, he would be number one.
No, he wasn't ranked 13. Like, I read that
he was ranked like 30.
He was ranked like 30 something and now he's ranked 29.
Oh, he's 29.
Yes, he's ranked 29.
Ah, Darren ain't going to take that fight. I wouldn't have thought so. Joaquin's a dangerous guy. He's a great fighter. He's very, very tough. He's explosive. Unpredictable as well, you know. For Darren, I mean, Darren could probably beat him, I would have thought. In fact, I'd put my money on Darren easily. But still, the 29th ranked guy, it's you know. Because those guys are still just as tough as some of the guys in 10 to 15. They just haven't had the body of work yet. You know what I mean? Anyway, what else we got?
Fight, though, is very, very interesting to me. Like, that concept, like, I wasn't even predicting Arnold Allen to be on that because, I mean, he is so high up in the rankings that I would assume next time he fought it would be, you know, probably like in a main event spot. But, I mean, I don't know who you match him up with if you want to throw him on that card. You got Yair Rodriguez, Calvin Kattar all ahead of him, but, you know, Korean Zombie, Brian Ortega, and Max Holloway. And then that's it. Then the champion.
And it's probably going to be one of those names. I mean, Arnold Allen's on, what, an 8-fight win streak? You know, so the name that stands out to me would be Yair Rodriguez, you know, but with all the star power that they're already putting on that card, you know, I don't know if they're going to fly Yair Rodriguez out there and put him on that. You know, they're probably going to do Arnold Allen. If they were to do Yair Rodriguez, that'd be another great fight for the American audiences. All right, real quick, I want to tell you about Masterworks. Listen, you know what's ridiculous about wealthy people? While us peasants invest in stocks and Dogecoin, wealthy people like Oprah Winfrey are investing in fucking Lamborghinis, Rolexes, and art. Yes, art. Get this. I recently found out Oprah Winfrey sold one of these artworks for over $150 million to some anonymous Chinese dude, and she raked in over $60 million in profit. Just think about that for a minute. I mean, come on, what are we doing? You know, I'm sitting there doing this podcast, but the Oprah Winfrey's making 60 mil, bish, bash, bosh, quick transaction, 60 mil in the pocket. She didn't even need it. So yeah, listen, the more I look into it, the crazier it becomes, because the Mona Lisa appreciates by 2,000,000% or something like that every single year. Can you believe that? That's like from 30K to $867 million. Well, for some of you savvy investors out there, if you want to learn more about investing in famous artworks without being Rolex rich, you got to visit masterworks.io. Promo code believe. It's actually a very interesting idea. You know, somebody owns that artwork out there. You can invest in it a little bit. And then as that artwork increases in price, as it gets older, as time passes, it all goes up. I mean, look at inflation. A loaf of bread costs you about $50 these days. Can you imagine how much the Mona Lisa costs? Have a look at it. Go to the website. It's very interesting. Masterworks.io. Promo code is believe and see important regulation disclosures at masterworks.io/CD. Last time, masterworks.io, promo code is believe. All right, well, we've got fights this weekend. Marlon Vera, friend of the show, of course, taking on Rob Font. I'll be calling that one. I'll be in Vegas, so I can't make a prediction, but I think it's a tough fight for both men. Both men have very, very exciting styles. We know Rob Font works behind that jab absolutely beautifully. Both men have a common opponent that they both lost to in Jose Aldo. I think they were both the last person to beat both of them. So that's kind of an interesting wrinkle. I spoke to both men this week and doing the fighter meetings for the UFC. Both confident, both had great camps, both coming into this one looking to make a statement. Yeah, it's going to be a fantastic fight. Can't wait for it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it is Rob Font's last. It was Rob Font's last loss, also his last fight. Versus, you know, Chito Vera, who, you know, I don't think has lost since 2020. Was that fight something like that?
Something like that.
Yeah, out on Fight Island. So, yeah, I was shocked when I looked at the stats for this one. Rob Font is landing nearly two strikes more per minute than Chito, and he's absorbing one strike less. So, is that just a matter of, you know, he's throwing out that jab as like a feeler, as a rangefinder, and it's connecting more than, you know, fighters who you know, primarily rely on power shots to find.
Yeah, well, the numbers are always going to be high when you have a jab happy style. And Rob's tall, he's long, and he's got a fucking crisp jab. That's one of his best weapons. Look how he used it against Cody Garbrandt, just pieced him up with it all night long, and then of course you throw the right hand behind it. And jabs are a low risk move as well. You know what I mean? So you can pour the jab out all the time. Sometimes you just use it. Just maybe you're not even throwing it, and then you snap it in, you know. So the numbers are always going to be high when you favor the jabs. Marlon throws more power shots, right hands, big hooks, power kicks, stuff like that. So jabs are always going to, you know, they're going to be high in numbers. But let me ask you, let me put you on the spot, because you're not calling it. Brian and Harrington, who wins the main event? And I'm going to tell Chito who you picked.
I'm going with Chito.
Yeah, send this clip to Chito. Cheeto's winning by first round knockout, baby.
Oh, yeah.
No, Chito Vera. All day.
No, be honest, though. Give a real, I mean, of course, so you're picking Chito. Do you think a first round stoppage?
I don't think, honestly, no. Probably not a first round stoppage. Rob Font is a tough SOB. I mean, both men lost to Jose. I do think that, you know, again, that common opponent thing. Chito dominated Jose in that second round, I think more than Rob did it at any point during their fight. So, you know, I have to give that edge to Chito as far as the common opponent thing. I think he's a much bigger nightmare on the ground than Rob is. And Rob goes to his wrestling quite a bit. So I could see and Chito has the better takedown defense. So, you know, I could see a situation where, you know, they get into a wrestling tie up, Chito gets the better of a scramble, and then Cheeto's able to find that submission, because he is, you know, he's always hunting that submission on the ground.
Yeah, he's definitely got a more diverse attacking range. You know what I mean? He's a complete threat in all areas. And I will say this as well, this could be, you know, if he can go out there and beat Rob Font, I think that'll be four in a row now that he's won. So he's back on a big winning streak because he's talking title fights, right? Marlon is dialed in. He's locked in. He's on the best form of his life. Let me tell you about Marlon, man. The man is so dedicated, so disciplined. He lives the fighter lifestyle 24/7, 365. And I'm sure Rob Font does as well, but I haven't spoken to him as much. I haven't been in the gym. I go down there. I see Cheeto on the weekends. He's doing half marathons. He's doing 48-hour fasts. He's literally obsessed and does everything he can. So anyway, it's a fantastic fight. May the best man win. Very, very much looking forward to that one. Of course, Andrei Arlovsky in the co-main event. Cannot believe this man is still doing it to this day. It's unbelievable. The career that he's had. I mean, he's been going since, I think it was 2003 or something like that. His first ever fight in the UFC. Which is fucking wild. I was just talking because next week we've got the pay-per-view, so we'll save most of that talk. But on that pay-per-view card next week is Shogun Hua, right? I remember when I started my MMA career, right? 2003 is when I started. And I remember watching Shogun in the Pride Grand Prix 2004, right? And it was the best run of his life. Won the Grand Prix. Just amazing fights. And I remember watching him and just being blown away and inspired and wanting to be like Shogun and just being such a fan of his. And here we are. I'm the old bastard that Jake Paul's calling out. And Shogun is still fighting on main cards in pay-per-views. I mean, talk about a goddamn legend.
So Andrei Arlovsky's first fight was against Aaron Brink at UFC 28, November 17th, 2000.
2000. UFC 28, 2000. I mean, come on. And he's getting better with age. Yes, he probably can't take a punch as good as he could, you know, but he's fighting smarter. He's dancing around. He uses a lot of footwork. He's very elusive, but he's got a tough fight. That Jake Collier that he's fighting, probably not too many people know too much about him. He's a hard-hitting motherfucker, let me tell you. Very fast. You know, Jake Collier fights at heavyweight. He started off his UFC career as a middleweight. Can you believe that? Most people go the other way. Most people start as maybe a heavyweight, start training and say, oh, you know what? I'm losing weight. I'm going to go down to 205. Oh, look at that. I could lose a bit more. I'm a middleweight. No, he said, I'm just a big boy. My body wants to be heavier and I feel happier and I'm better when I'm heavier. Yeah, so he's walking in at like 260 pounds. Used to make 185. Unbelievable.
He did the reverse cannoneer.
Yes. No, that's exactly what he did. Yeah.
Dang. I mean, Andrei Arlovsky, by the way, he's on a 3-fight win streak, has won 5 of his last 6. His only loss is to Tom Aspinall. So it's like, you know, he's still fighting the absolute cream of the crop. I mean, you call him a gatekeeper, whatever you want, but it's like, you still, if you want to be a ranked guy, if you want to be a contender at some point down the line at heavyweight, 9 times out of 10, you're going to need to go through Andrei Arlovsky still 22 years into his UFC career. That's insane. Yeah.
No, it is. It is insane. It is. And I just have so much respect. I've talked about this before. He's one of the few guys that I don't get starstruck. I definitely did when I first met him the first few times. You know, I was like, whoa, that's Arlovsky. I remember when I fought at UFC 70, I was sharing a dressing room with him. Do you know what I was like? It's fucking Arlovsky over there, man. Do you know what I mean? I was definitely like that. I was geeked out. I was like, shit. And he's still going strong. So God bless him. So much respect for him. Before we get to questions, just trying to see, is there anything else that we're missing out on here? Canelo's responded. I mean, Harrington puts in, Santa Monica's building the longest bridge in the world. Really? Is it? Is it really? I don't know if it is.
Is that to ship all the poop off the streets?
No. It's building Santa Monica's the largest very bridge nice. In the world exclusively for wildlife.
Right. So that that's fantastic.
Can get over the freeway.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I was going to say, what's that bridge called between Russia and America or Alaska and Russia? The Bering Strait, I think it is. I think that's the longest bridge in the world. Is that correct, Brian? Just look that up. I do believe the Bering Strait connects like the most. Bridge. Say again.
That's a natural bridge, no?
I don't know. Is it a natural bridge? Oh, well, it shows how stupid I am. I thought it was a natural bridge.
So the longest bridge in the world is the Danyang Kushan Grand Bridge in China.
The Dangyang Kushan. Yes, I remember that when I was visiting the Bispings. Yes, we. And how long was that again, please, Brian? I need to know, because I remember the day when we walked. It was very, very long. I was pooped afterwards. How long did we walk when we traversed the Dangyang Pupang Bridge?
102.4 miles.
Yes, I remember it well. Paul Felder on his triathletes couldn't run that far, but yes, the Dangyang Puyang, it's a good one. What other bridges have we got? Give us the top five. Brian, this is fun. Give me the top five bridges in the world, and the Bering Strait better be fucking in there.
I got the top 10 longest bridges.
Five. Let's go. Let's not go crazy.
So the first two are in China. The second one is Changhua Kaohsiung Viaduct. I'm pretty sure I butchered that.
The master of all the viaducts out there. I love a good viaduct.
All five are in China. And are you going to make me say all these names?
Yes. I want to know how long that viaduct is.
98 miles.
Ah, it's quite the viaduct. Yes,
and
I remember.
And then we have the Tianjin Grand Bridge in China. It's just over 70 miles.
Grand by nature.
The Kangade Bridge in China.
Brian, it's the Kangade.
All right. Yeah. I'm not cultured like that, Mike.
Let me guess. The last one is the bridge over the River Kwai.
No, you're wrong.
Been there.
The Wainhan Waihe Grand Bridge. And then we got Thailand, more China. Number eight is the United States.
Now I was going to say, where's that? What is that bridge?
It's Lake Pontchartrain.
Come on, that's not a Chinese name. You should know this.
I'm going to put it in the chat. You can try to read it.
Put it in the chat. I do want to see this. They love a good bridge down in China, then, don't they? Well, it's the biggest country in the world.
Yeah, you know, they got a lot of rivers and shit.
They got a lot of rivers and lakes and
Lake Pond
shit that needs
Pond
crossing.
Train?
Anyway,
these Chinese better watch out for these Indian bridge thieves. They got big bridges to steal.
We're bordering close on hatred, I think.
We're admiring their engineering skills.
They have engineered the fuck out of those bridges, man. And that viaduct, that will always be a personal favorite of mine. I remember when I was there, I was like, wow.
A whole 102 miles?
How much?
Yeah, I mean, 100. Yeah, you did the whole 102 miles.
I did. We did it over a couple of days. Let's move on. Let's do some questions, shall we? What have we got? Remember, if you want to join in the fun and you want to send us some questions, we do love to answer them, of course. Video questions are better. We do have the occasional text, but send them in. The funnier, the better. The more creative, the better. Send them in to bympod@gmail.com. Harrington.
I'm dumb. If you are enjoying this podcast on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you find podcasts, make sure that you're subscribed to the podcast. Leave a 5-star rating, positive review. It really helps out the show, helps us grow. If you're watching on YouTube, hit that subscribe button and click the notification bell to find out whenever a new video drops. And if you want to catch over 300 episodes, you can't find anywhere else ad-free and uncensored, head to gasdigitalnetwork.com. Use promo code BYM for a 7-day free trial.
All right, Brian, what have we got today?
Thank God I edit these things, huh?
Thank God.
We got a question here from Brandon Pyle.
What's up, Private Pyle?
Hi. Janitor Brendan here. Quick question for you, and I'll get back to mopping the bathroom. This upcoming Chandler-Ferguson fight, do you think Chandler is just going to mop the floor with them, or does Ferguson actually have a chance anymore? Personally, being from High Ridge, Missouri, working in the same school district he went to as a kid. Side note, that's tit sweat. Motivation leaving the body. Anyways, do you think it's going to be a close match, or is, again, Chandler's going to take it? See you guys. Love the show.
I like this guy. What was his name again, Brian?
Brendan Pyle,
and that's what I'm talking about, you know, creative.
Motivation leaving the body is so funny.
I've heard that before on a movie, I think, but what a fight that is next week. Tony Ferguson, Michael Chandler. Jesus Christ, that's a good fight card next week. So if you look at it, Ferguson, of course, we can make an argument. Oh, it looks like his best days are behind him. You know, he's lost those three to Dariush, Gaethje, and of course the champ. Oliveira. Chandler has lost to two of the same people. You know what I mean? So there's no shame there, but it's the way that they're losing, because Gaethje beat Ferguson in a way that was kind of hard to watch in a way. The boxing was absolutely fantastic of Gaethje, and Tony, being the warrior that he is, ate so many fucking shots, and then the referee had to save him from himself. Chandler and Gaethje put on a war for the ages, and that was such a close fight. So even though he lost to Gaethje, the storyline and the narrative was very, very different. It's a tough one, because if Chandler wants to remain in those talks of potentially being a title challenger one day, he has to win this fight. Otherwise, he's in the same boat as fucking Tony Ferguson. If Tony Ferguson wants to remain, and Dan Hooker, if Tony Ferguson wants to remain in those talks as well, remember, he was on a 12-fight win streak. He was the bogeyman. He would always come back from behind and get you. But if he loses four in a row, which he's got a very good chance of doing, let's be honest, he has got a chance of losing to Michael Chandler. But if he loses four in a row and he loses badly, then a lot of people are going to ask for him to start thinking about retirement. You know what I mean? Which would be sad, because it would be such a huge fall from grace. Tony's a wild man. He's out of his mind, but I'm looking forward to seeing him. I love him as a fight fan. I love his uniqueness. I love his weirdness, whatever you want to call it. His insane training methods. At the open workouts, he'll be breakdancing and kicking iron rods. You know what I mean? He'll be giving his doctors a heart attack, but he's great. He's fun. He's value for money. And he shows up every fucking time. Tony Ferguson is an absolute fucking warrior. I've got so much respect for him. He's got a really tough fight against Chandler.
Well, I mean, you know, like you said, I don't think anybody's going to be calling for his walking papers, even off a 4-straight loss. I think somebody's going to want to see him fight somebody outside of the top five. It's insane, the level of competition he's had. I do want to make a point about that Gaethje fight. Gaethje didn't stop Ferguson until the 5th round. So who knows how Chandler would have looked with a round and a half more in that fight with Justin Gaethje. I mean, you know, they both lost Charles Oliveira. Tony Ferguson was able to get it to a decision. Chandler got stopped in the 2nd round. So there are certain things that I look for, that make me think that Tony Ferguson does 100% have a chance and won't get the floor mopped. I mean, he took that Gaethje fight 6 months later, took the Oliveira fight 6 months later, takes the Beneil Dariush fight. Now he's had a full year of rest and recovery, heal up all those injuries, maybe get some fluid back in his brain, whatever the case may be. He's going in there. I do see this as a maybe not a winnable fight. I mean, certainly any fight Tony Ferguson is winnable. Might not be that likely, but I do like his chances a hell of a lot more heading into this Michael Chandler fight than I did heading into the Beneil Dariush fight, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with what you're saying, but Tony's just always had such a fan-pleasing style that I just believe that's catching up with him. I'm not saying he loses the fight. I believe Tony Ferguson is capable of winning any fight. He's a tough son of a bitch. He's a proper fighter. The man is a fighter. But on top of that, he's also 38 years old. He's 38, I believe so. Just double-check that, Brian. I believe he's 38 years old. I don't care who you are. I retired at 37, 38. He's getting on. That's older.
Just turned 38.
For a lightweight as well, right? And I think that's probably got to do with the number of fights, the wear and tear on the body, the damage that he's taken, the fan-pleasing style. And then, of course, combined with undefeated Father Time. He's fucking 38. You can't go on forever, you know? And yes, you see heavyweights going into the 40s. You don't necessarily or generally see lightweights competing at the highest level nearly 40 years old.
No, I mean, I think the only outlier there is Maya, and that's because he fought a style where he was the professor. You know what I mean? Like he was trying to avoid damage and just catch guys in submission. So that makes all the sense.
And he was only one weight class up, but still another 15 pounds higher. Yeah, interesting. It's a good one, though. I can't wait. Next week we'll break down all the action. Brian, go on. What else?
Well, before I play this next one, I got a quick question. What happens? Does the UFC have to pay like a penalty if they cut you when there's still more fights on your contract? Do they have to compensate you?
No, if you lose in the contracts, generally the UFC can terminate those contracts on the back of a loss. That's why every time you fight, if you lose, there's always that thing in the back of your mind that you might be out of a job. You know, you might not be a UFC fighter come Monday morning. You know, and that's the sad reality of it, you know. But that's you know, it's professional sports. So, yeah, you know, Tony could have been cut after 1 loss, 2 losses, 3 losses. I don't think they're going to cut Tony loose. They won't cut him, you know. I'm far be it for me to talk.
People love him, though.
He's loved. He is. And he's a fan favorite. And I'm sure when he walks out there and it's Tony time, and I love his music, it's time that the old breakbeat fucking hip hop tune that he uses. I forget what it's called, but I love it. I love that song. I love his walkouts. I love everything about it.
As a Tony fan, if he does get standing knocked out again, I would not like to see him fight anymore. Yeah. You know. All right. Anyway, here's.
I would never say that to a fighter though to retire. You know what I mean? Because you know.
I just don't want to see him get fucking Muhammad Ali'd. You know.
No. If that happens, well, and that's a very good point, Brian. Nobody wants to see that. Nobody wants to see that. Yeah. You know, I did. Oh, I had some alarming news recently. We'll talk about it another time. But if he loses and wants to continue fighting, just fight someone that's ranked in 10 to 15. Come out the top five. Anyway, what have we got?
All right. Here's one from Mr. Jason Billings.
Hey, Mike, I have a question. I was just wondering if you still keep in touch with any of your Ultimate Fighter teammates or other people in the house or coaches. I'm just curious if you still have any kind of relationship with any of those people.
Ah.
Thanks.
Jason, right? Jason, I'm just curious if you have any contact with any of the Ultimate Fighter people. I thought, what is he doing here? Let me see. Not really. Kendall Grove, of course. Kendall is a brother to me. He's stayed at my house many times. We've trained together, done many training camps together. I haven't seen him much lately, but, you know, we still text here and there, still keep in touch, still, you know, a little DM on Instagram and whatnot and a little WhatsApp here and there. So obviously Kendall Grove. Tate Fletcher. If you remember who Tate Fletcher was, you know, same thing. Instagram's great for that. You know what I mean? Instagram is good for just like, you know, you do a little laughing emoji on someone's post or whatever. You know, I shoot them a little DM. So Tate Fletcher, who else? You know, someone was talking. Go on.
I was going to make a very in poor taste joke.
Go on.
I was going to say you could try to talk to Matt Hamill.
Oh, good. That is bad. I apologize right now.
I'm sorry. Apologize. Said it was in poor taste.
Yes, I know, but I didn't know how poor. We're not laughing at that. Let me see. Who else? Well, Tito Ortiz. I still see Tito about. Obviously, Perillo coaches him. He spoke on my documentary. Ken Shamrock, no.
He's together.
I've not seen Ken Shamrock for quite some time. Who else is there? Yeah. Oh, my God. Oh, I had a dream last night about Mike Nichols. You won't know who that is. He was on, I swear to fucking God. I had a dream. He was in my dream last night. That's bizarre. That's weird. Anyway, Brian, what else have we got? Because Harrington can't join in on that conversation.
All right. Well, he could probably join in the conversation about dreams of dudes.
Yeah.
We got another question here from Johnny McIntyre.
Good old Johnny.
What's happening, guys? Love the podcast. First of all, don't ever let Harrington wear that fucking tank top again. It made me sick. I nearly unsubscribed. If you listen back in the last podcast with Macy, you could hear something in Harrington's mic picking up. It sounded similar to... Don't want to get into too much details. Mike Bisbin, question. How would you feel the next time you have to commentate? And if it's Anthony Smith's next fight, would you feel awkward? Do you feel like you would be, you'd have pressure on you in case you were more biased because obviously you're boys? And Anthony Smith, question for you. Do you wish you moved to 205 early in your career? Obviously with the success you've had at 205.
Well, this part doesn't really matter.
No, it doesn't. No, but what was his name again? I like that guy.
Johnny McIntyre.
Johnny, your age. Yeah, well, you can shut your fucking mouth, Harrington. Johnny McIntyre's all right, so he is. Why am I doing Irish? He ain't fucking Irish, he's Scottish. But he's the softly spoken type. What did he ask? Anthony Smith, right? Would it be awkward when I'm commentating his fight? Was that his first question?
Yes.
Yeah. No. It wouldn't be. It would. You know, I've been friends with Anthony now around, you know, working for the UFC for many years. You know, and I've commentated his fights before. You know, we've always had a good relationship. We hit it off straight away with Anthony. Of course, he's on the podcast now, and that's fantastic, and everyone loves him, and we love having him on here. But I've commentated many people that I have relationships with. Like this weekend, Chito Vera. Chito, you know, I'm boys with Chito. But I respect Rob Font, you know, so may the best man win. May the best man win, and I truly mean that. But it is hard. Sometimes you have to separate that. You know, you got to wear two hats. Yeah, one hat, you're a friend and a colleague, and the other time, you're a commentator. And it's down to just, you know, let the action dictate what you see and what you say, you know. And that's generally what I try and do. Sometimes people talk about biased commentary, right? The reality is sometimes it's not about being biased. It's just that sometimes you might have a relationship with a fighter where you know more about that person. So therefore, you can talk more about that person. Not that you're being biased. It's just that I can give the viewers more information on that person because I know him on a personal level. You know what I mean? And sometimes people go, oh, he's being biased. He's talking about him more. So yeah, I've actually got like, I know some behind the scenes stuff about this guy that you might want to know. The other guy, yes, I do my research, Dominic Cruz. I watch his fights. I go through social medias. I read interviews. I speak to them myself, but I haven't been on the piss with him. I haven't seen him knock out four fucking dudes. I haven't seen him stuff his face. I haven't seen him have arguments with his girlfriends or whatever the case may be. Do you know what I mean?
Damn, dude, just throwing Cheeto under the bus.
I'm not talking about Cheeto. I'm giving hypotheticals. But you know what I mean? If you know someone more and you have a relationship, you have more things you can share with the viewer. But you have got to try and balance it out. But to answer the question in a long roundabout way, no. I hope Anthony Smith gets fucking knocked out. There you go. I've said it. I'm calling it out. Anthony Smith, come at me, bro. What you got, buddy? What have you got?
Let's see if he listens over an hour into the show.
Oh, yeah. Let's see if he watches the show that he's not on.
I bet you he does. He's in the chat a lot.
Is he really?
Yeah.
He's the man.
Can I just make a point? That guy talking shit about me in a tank top wasn't wearing a shirt. Don't send in shirtless questions.
It's European irony.
But he still looked better than you, Harrington. I have to say. And by the way, I just want to say, because I've got to go, sadly. I've got to rush off. I do. I build a friend of mine. Did a fantastic job. He does some work on my house. He did it 6 years ago. And now he's collecting. He's collecting. I'm supposed to be there now. I'm actually 32 minutes late, so I've got to dash off. He did his killer deal. He wants me to be at this expo, so I've got to rush down there and stand there and meet some people. But we just want to extend... from the believers, from myself, from Harrington and Brian, we hope. And I saw all the comments on the YouTube channel towards Anthony Smith's mother. We know she's going through some struggles right now. So, of course, one more time, we send nothing but the best well wishes towards her. I hope she makes a full recovery and is back on her feet soon. But that's it. That's it. That's the episode today. Short and sweet. On Thursday, hope you're all well. Subscribe, ring the bell, tell your friends, share the episode, tell your fucking friends to subscribe. Let's go, babies. I've got to go, baby. Take care. Harrington, Brian, all the best.